The Wicked Smart Sports Guys is brought to you by SumaxBatteries.com. As always, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SumaxBatteries Batteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SumaxBatteries Batteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SumaxBatteries Batteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming tools, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SumaxBatteries Batteries has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today, use code BOSTON, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, and save 20% off your entire order. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, to check out and save big today. SumaxBatteries.com, CELMAXBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. Thanks to Dolly Dreams, as always, for the intro music. This week, we're joined by Jack Simone, NBA, once again, to talk about the NBA All-Stars. And Jack, the Jays are in. Both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown named All-Stars. Brown for the first time, Tatum for the second time. Your immediate thoughts, I mean, and I'll give you a little bit of a jumping off point. Did they deserve it?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, immediate thoughts, I was hyped. Obviously, you want to see your guys get into the All-Star game. Being a Celtics fan, it's nice to see them both get in. Jaylen Brown, 1,000%, without a doubt in my mind, deserved it. Jason Tatum, looking at most of the other guys that were, you know, in question to make the team that didn't, I'd say he deserved it, but that was definitely more borderline than Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because on an individual basis, I think it's hard for me to argue that either didn't deserve it. I think both are clearly better than any of the players who were snubbed. But the problem comes when I say, did the Celtics deserve two All-Stars for how they're playing this year? And it's not like they're, you know, eighth in the East or anything like that, but they've been a considerable disappointment. And look, I mean, I think there would be a better argument here if maybe Ben Simmons didn't get in, which I honestly didn't think he would. And I think it becomes that statistical versus team accomplishments, right? Like, based on the team accomplishment, Philly absolutely deserved two All-Stars, whether that was Simmons or Tobias Harris. You know, I guess you could debate that. But the Celtics, you know, at 500, the sixth seed right now, I mean, they really didn't. So it was an interesting debate that I'm sure maybe some coaches around the league had internally, but ultimately they decided to reward talent, find a way to kind of make it both work. But you know, you leave off some important guys who like Trae Young, and you know, we'll get into a few of the names in a bit. But you know, it's interesting to see how they decided to, you know, reward certain teams. And I you know, based on the team thing, I struggle with yeah. I mean, the Celtics have two All-Stars. It feels a little just bittersweet the right word? It feels like they both deserved it individually, but with how bad the team's doing, it's hard to argue that Celtics are a team that has earned those spots.
No, yeah, I was watching one of my favorite YouTubers, King of the Fourth Quarter, break it down earlier today, and the way he put it was the Celtics are built in a way where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have to do so much that it's hard to argue either of them doesn't deserve it. Because like, you look at these other teams, like the Sixers, the Bucks, and teams like that, they have such like solid supporting casts that like them having two is like fine, but it makes a lot of sense for a team like the Celtics who don't really have that depth and like extra scoring. And then, but the issue I do have is Celtics being 15-15, and the Pacers and the Raptors having no All-Stars. That's what annoys me. Like, I know you said we're going to get into the snubs, but the Pacers and the Raptors having no All-Stars is kind of egregious, in my opinion.
So I want to see if we have the same guy for the Raptors, because I think the Raptors guy that got snubbed, I don't know if you agree, it's Fred VanVleet.
100%.
For the performances. Yeah, I mean, Siakam just struggled a little too much early on. He's gotten back to being, you know, still a really good player, but VanVleet was the one getting the most buzz. And I mean, yeah, you're right. I think that those fans of those teams are going to have a legitimate argument. I don't have as big of a problem with Sabonis not making it. I think.
See, I have a bigger problem there, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, between the two of them, and I know Sabonis does a lot more in some other categories, I just think Vucevic has done more. this season, just from a pure statistical standpoint, I think just the way, especially in these recent weeks here leading up to the vote, which who knows if recency bias played a role for the coaches around the league, but Vucevic has been on fire lately. So it was really, I mean, I think you really between those two, you had to pick one of the two. And I didn't have a huge problem with it being Vucevic.
See, the issue for me lies obviously in winning. Like, you look at Vuce, it's what, 24, 12, and 3.5. That's really good stats. You know, 21, 11, and 6. Those are amazing stats. But the Magic are 13 and 18 right now, and the Pacers are 15 and 14. Like, the Pacers have been consistently winning. And so, obviously, Vucevic and the Magic, it's honestly incredible they've won 13 games, and I'm pretty sure...
I mean, yeah, and isn't it... I mean, look at the difference between those two teams. I mean, the Magic have been decimated by injuries, and meanwhile, the Pacers, I mean, they have a really good supporting cast around Sabonis. So, I mean, that plays a factor for me, too.
No, yeah, and that's why it's not, like, too big of a complaint for me. Like, obviously, I think you can say the same thing for the Raptors. They struggled for so long, and, like, they have such a good supporting cast around Van Fleet that you can't really single out one guy. And I have to assume that's why a guy like Zach LaVine made it over Fred Van Fleet. But it's just tough to see two teams who are literally, I think, the 4 and the 5 seed in the West, or the East, sorry, not getting All-Star. So I understand it, but it's just a little, you know, weird in my opinion.
So what are your thoughts on Zach LaVine being the All-Star team? Because Zach LaVine... very polarizing player. I'll leave it at that for now. But did you like it? Do you think he deserved it, or do you think do you not like Zach LaVine too much?
Sam and I have very differing views. I think he 1,000% deserved to make the All-Star team. He was on my personal ballot when we discussed it. I mean, the guy's averaging what, 30 points, like 5 assists, 5 rebounds on insane efficiency this season. If he got his free throw numbers up, he'd be very well over 50-40-90. And the Bulls aren't terrible. They're 14-16, which I know doesn't sound great, but the Celtics are 15-15, and they got 2 All-Stars. So Zach LaVine making the All-Star team makes 100% sense to me. He's leading that team. There isn't really, like, a close second option on that team. It's just him and a solid supporting cast. So that was a no-brainer, in my opinion.
It's hard for me to pick LaVine over Trae Young, and they are,
yeah,
they have similar cases. It's just, and I mean, it's really tough. I guess LaVine is just, he's just been just based on the team stuff and his statistical standpoint, you could say he's just slightly better. But it's the tough thing about it is Trae Young's playmaking elevates him to a star level that LaVine just isn't at, like, you know, because the case for both these guys is offensive production, and that's it. It's like, bottom line, that's their entire case. And it's hard to argue Trae Young's isn't better than LaVine's.
From a, you know, outsider standpoint, I agree with that. But again, I watched King of the Fourth Quarter for this, and he made a really, really good point. The coaches hate Trae Young, and they're doing the voting. Like, if you think about it, like, Steve Nash even came out and said, that's not basketball. And you have to imagine the rest of the coaches feel the same. Like, you can't tell me, I'm stealing this from Kenny completely. You can't tell me that Greg Popovich is watching Trae Young do his little foul thing and say, you know what, I respect that. Like, no, they hate everything he does. So I think it makes sense, even though you could make a very good argument he deserved it more.
That's an interesting point. I don't know if they'd hold a grudge, so to speak, like that. Or maybe if they just don't think he's that good. I mean, I mean, it's a good point because there is that kind of whole backlash against Trae Young for how he plays. But a lot of players, by the way, like James Harden made it. James Harden, he kind of birthed that style of basketball, right? So, and James Harden had his own, you know, issues this season that coaches could have held against him. Never mind the way he plays. You know, limited number of games, the way he did the Rockets. Like, there are plenty of reasons why, you know, coaches might not have wanted to reward him, but they did. And I think it's a, you know, I don't know if this is 100% true, but I think there's a sentiment around the league that the coaches don't really put too much thought into these things. You know, they kind of just have a, I don't know if this is 100% true, but they kind of just have the PR people, you know, handle most of it. So, I mean, I don't know. If that's the reason Trae Young was left off because they don't like him, that would obviously be a problem.
I feel like it's not even they don't like him. I just feel like, okay, they're obviously basing it off of the games they're watching. I don't think they sit down and look at the stats like we do. I think in their minds, okay, Trae Young's been more impactful. I mean, Zach LaVine's been more impactful this season in a more effective way.
I think there are a few other names on here that I think are really interesting. And I'll just get your thoughts on all three of these guys right away. James Harden, Julius Randle, and Ben Simmons. Each one of those guys. Do you like those picks? I mean, is there one guy that you would kick off of that group? I mean, to me, I think Julius Randle probably deserved... I mean, it's tough because there are so many of these guys that I look at and I say, you know, they all kind of deserved it in a certain way. But, I mean, this was a field of Eastern Conference All-Stars that you could... It's very debatable.
No, yeah. Sam and I went over our reserve picks on the last From the Raptors episode. I had Harden and Randle on there. I think Randle 100% deserved it. The Knicks are actually a really solid basketball team this year, and he is pretty much the only reason for that. I mean, obviously, they have a good, decent supporting cast, but he's averaging ridiculous numbers. He's played the most minutes in the NBA this season. Tom Thibodeau is running the offense through him beautifully. I think he deserved it. James Harden, I mean, if you just look at what he's doing with the Nets, it's just, it's undoubtable that he's still the same James Harden he has in years past. And he's just an all-star lock every year at this point. He's that impactful. He's that good. He's that good at passing. And he's shown that he can do more than score the ball. I didn't have Ben Simmons on my list. I don't hate it. I would have chosen Middleton or Tobias Harris over Ben Simmons. But he has been playing really well lately. I think I saw somewhere he was averaging like 30 in the past five games, so there probably is a little recency bias, but Middleton's having a stupid good season. Tobias Harris has been great consistently for the Sixers, so I probably would have gone with one of them, but I can't complain too much.
Yeah, I think that maybe more traditional All-Star, and I don't know why this strikes me as a more, I don't know, I don't want to say traditional, but almost more... what you'd expect. Like, I wouldn't expect to see Randle and LaVine making their first All-Star games because, I mean, it's very difficult to break in like that. Like, I would expect the coaches, especially with how they voted in the past, to have put Middleton in there and to put maybe a guy like Van Fleet in there. Like, you know, I don't know. I say Van Fleet. Or, you know, Trae Young, I think, would be the guy, like, because he had made it last year already. It kind of becomes a thing is once you're known as an all-star, it's way easier to make it. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of the thing of part of what's, you know, always held some of these players back when they're trying to make their first one. And this goes, you know, a few years back because he obviously made one, I think, last year, but wasn't able to make it this year. But like Devin Booker is a great example of that where it's just, you know, especially in the West, it's much harder to break into it. But and we're going to get into the West in a second, but... I guess I am very, very surprised that Middleton didn't make it just from that standpoint of, I mean, he is having a spectacular season, made it the last couple years, and, I mean, I think I heard somebody say, like, when are we going to just start looking at Chris Middleton as, you know, and respecting him as the great player he is and not seeing him as just a, you know, token piece next to Giannis?
Yeah, I think Middleton definitely deserved it. The big thing about Trae Young, I will say last year he was a starter, so the coaches didn't have any say. So I think that supports my theory a little more that they just don't really respect the way he plays the game, which, I mean, you can argue whether or not that should have an impact or not. Yeah, Devin Booker last year also technically didn't get voted in. He was an Adam Silver choice replacement for Dame Lillard. So,
all right, well, let's move on to the Western Conference. I think we pretty much covered everything there was to cover in the East. Any problem with the West? Paul George, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, so I had my All-Star reserves when we did our picks. I had Dame, Mitchell, George, Gobert, and Paul all in mine. Paul was like a borderline guy, but then the biggest snubs for me are Devin Booker and DeMar DeRozan. I think both of those guys should have made it. I don't really agree with the Williamson selection. I feel like that was a little bit of... All right, I mean, it's Zion Williamson. He's having a solid year. He should get in. But the way DeMar DeRozan has been playing this season is insane. I think it just goes to show that the Spurs are such an under-the-radar team. Like, what's their record right now? I'm pretty sure they're, like, well above 500, which is crazy, considering what a lot of people expected them to be. Right now, the Spurs
are 16-11.
Yeah, I mean, 16-11. In the Eastern Conference, that would be, what, 59.3% win percentage? They'd be... third in the East, and DeMar DeRozan isn't an all-star leading that team. He's averaging, I think right now, 21 points, rebounds.
He's averaging 19.8 points.
Okay, so...
6.9 assists.
Yeah, the assist is where it is, and that's a career high for him. He should have been an all-star over Zion Williamson. I think Anthony Davis was the correct choice, but I don't think he'll play, so that's why I didn't include him on my ballot. And that's where I think Booker will get the nod. But if DeRozan gets the nod over Booker, I also won't complain. Chris Paul is another one that I've seen a lot of people complain about, but it's hard to argue the impact he's had in Phoenix because, I mean, last year they were barely in the, like, they weren't even close to the playoffs before the bubble. They had that miracle run, and then you throw Chris Paul on the team, and they're, what, the four seed? Like, that's just, that's winning.
And it's kind of hard to argue that's not Chris Paul after seeing what he did with the Thunder last season. It's like he's doing the same thing again. And, I mean, you know, again, I don't want to give him all the credit because it was the same thing with the Thunder last season. Like, Shai also was making an impact there, and Danilo, but it was, I mean, it's hard to not give Chris Paul most of the credit when, you know, he's doing it again now with the Suns, and he just brings a presence that clearly impacts winning, and it's hard not to reward him. So I didn't have a problem with Chris Paul. DeRozan, I don't know if I would have given it to him. I mean, again, I think that the whole thing with the Spurs is it more of a team concept? I mean, it's a big case of Popovich influence. Their bench is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. So, you know, I don't love the DeRozan pick. You know, and I don't think this guy should have made it just based on the way we pick All-Stars traditionally. We usually don't use these kind of concepts. But Mike Conley, a strong case was made for him the other day. And I didn't agree with this, but I think it was Kevin Arnovitz who went on Zach Lowe's podcast and said he was the best player on the best team in the league. And I thought, thought that was a little strong. but he was, you know, making the point that his advanced numbers are insane. Like, every category, he's, like, top 12, top 16, top 10. Like, his presence is scattered over how good the Jazz have been. And I, you know, initially, I probably would have pushed back against that. And looking at his stats, they aren't quite up to par. But the whole argument to me of Connolly getting in just as a kind of, and I know this isn't totally fair, but like a lifetime achievement award kind of thing. Like, he has had a huge impact this season. The Jazz are really good. They have best record in the NBA. If people wanted to put Connolly in to say, he, just in the scope of his entire career, Mike Connolly deserves to have made an All-Star team and we're going to give it to him this year, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. I actually would have liked it because I generally agree with that sentiment that Connolly deserved it at some point. So, I mean, it's disappointing to see him fall short this year when it seemed like there was a strong campaign to get him in.
I agree 100%. I saw some of the TNT guys put Jordan Clarkson in there, which I think would have been a little wild. But I think the Jazz really did have the strongest case out of anybody for three All-Stars. I know the Nets got it, but it's tough not to get three All-Stars when you have, you know, Kyrie, KD, and Harden on the same team. They're all going to get in. I wouldn't have complained if Conley got it either. He is one of those guys who, you know, he's never made an All-Star team. He's probably the, not the biggest snub, but the most notable guy in the NBA outside of maybe CJ McCollum, who would have easily made it this year if he stayed healthy, which is sucks, but that's besides the point. I wouldn't have complained if Mike Conley got in. The only thing I will say is I don't really know who I would have, you know, taken out to put Mike Conley in that game. Maybe Zion, but even if I'm taking Zion,
I think it has to be Zion, but, yeah. And here's the other thing is I think, because you mentioned Anthony Davis probably isn't going to play, I'm interested to see what Adam Silver is going to do, because I think there are going to be people in his ear on both sides campaigning for Booker and Connolly. And they're two very, very different cases for both of those guys. And knowing the type of guy that Adam Silver is, I think it's going to be tough for him not to want to go to that sentimental aspect and get Connolly's All-Star game, knowing that Booker is going to make plenty more in his career. And I know that's an unfair way to choose it, but I mean, this is a guy in Silver who he added honorary All-Star spots for Kobe and like, or Dwayne Wade and Dirk that one year, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, I mean, he has that, you know, sentimental side of him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes that way. And if he does, I think he's going to get a lot of backlash. So I think there's going to be like an equal poll to be like, well, I think the obvious choice and the guy everybody's naming on Twitter right now is Devin Booker. So I'm really very interested to see what he's going to decide to do with that spot when it opens up. And I think, to be honest, he might be hoping someone else gets hurt here. Like, you know, obviously you never wait room for injuries, but he might be hoping, you know, Zion can't play so that he can get both of them in there.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I tend to agree with you that that is something Adam Silver might do. Obviously, last year, the whole thing with Booker was he's never made an all-star team either, and he was playing so well. LeBron even tweeted out, like, quote, Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in this league. So that just goes to show who the players think should make the all-star team. If it was my personal rankings, I'd probably go Booker, DeRozan, and then Conley. I just really think the way DeRozan has lifted that Spurs team is incredible. But watching the Jazz play basketball, I can understand the Conley vote, but you gotta also think they're just such a well-rounded team. Like the other night against the Hornets, Georges Niang shot 7 of 7 from three. Joe Ingles shot 7 of 10 from three. Jordan Clarkson shot like 6 of like. They just have so many guys who contribute to the style of basketball they play that it's kind of hard to pick out three guys and say, okay, yeah, these guys all deserve to be all-stars. Because realistically, like, Conley has a great impact, but they're just such a good, well-rounded team.
I still am not buying what you're selling me on DeRozan. I just, after all the, and DeRozan, by the way, I mean, very similar to LaVine in that a lot of the basketball purists or basketball analytics community hates him. People don't like DeMar DeRozan very much. And I think there are certain stats that I heard when I listened to these All-Star podcasts of, you know, the Spurs are significantly better with him off the floor. And that's still a case. And like I said, one of the best benches in the league San Antonio has. So, I mean, and, you know, you mentioned he's averaging a career high in assists, which is you know, true and not something to be taken lightly. But his scoring is also, you know, his lowest in quite some time. He's averaging his fewest amount of points per game since 2012. So I understand, you know, he's passing the ball more, and, you know, it's up a little bit from his 2018 season, his first season with the Spurs, but, you know, 0.7, which is a considerable amount, but not astronomical. I mean, I don't think it's quite there with DeRozan. I think I still like DeRozan. I still do. And I get wanting to reward a Spur in general, but I just would prefer rather to reward Mike Conley.
No, yeah, that's fair. I think it's a pretty close race between the two. I would still take Booker over both of them, but I wouldn't complain if any of those three got into the game.
All right. Anything else on All-Star you want that's crossing your mind here as we wrap up here? The All-Star reactions to the All-Star reserves.
Other shout-outs should go to De'Aaron Fox, Ja Morant, and Brandon Ingram. I think those are the three right outside of the, you know, quote-unquote snub category that could have gotten in. Chris Middleton, too, but I put him more in that direct snub. Siakam, meh. I'm really hyped Julius Randle got in. I think he really deserved it. That's just my personal opinion. The fact that the Knicks are a good basketball team is in large part because of him and the game plan that Tom Thibodeau and like those two, just the way those two have been able to win basketball games is crazy. Because last year, the whole narrative was Julius Randle is not good at basketball. He doesn't impact winning. And this year, he's an all-star averaging like 23, 11, and 5. Like, the dude's insane. I saw a lot of people mad that a Heat player didn't make it, but the Heat aren't great this year. Like, they don't necessarily deserve an all-star. Randle's doing everything Bam is doing, but better, which is kind of crazy considering how good Bam is. But that's just how solid a season I think Randle's having.
Well,
in my personal opinion, maybe not defense.
A little
maybe
bit
not defense.
On the defensive
yeah,
end.
Yeah. Bam's a much better defender, but in terms of like offense and impacting winning this season, Julius Randle hasn't beat. So I'm going to give Julius I'm just happy that Julius Randle got it, because now Brandon Ingram has been an all-star. D'Angelo Russell has been an all-star. Julius Randle has been an all-star. And Jordan Clarkson's going to win Sixth Man of the Year this season. So that Lakers squad, that was just funny. But overall,
I know, Jack.
Yeah.
Jack, I know you want to poke fun at the Lakers. I think they're pretty content with their championship from last year, unfortunately.
They're chilling. They're chilling.
One name we didn't mention yet, though, who we really should. I don't think we mentioned him. Gordon Hayward. I think at a certain point in the season, I thought he had a better chance to make it than he did. Like I said, a lot of, like, really equal footing Eastern Conference players you could have picked from. And he was just another one on that list. I think, you know, it was hard to really make a strong case for him. I don't think he had the best shot at it. But, I mean, certainly. It's kind of sick for him, too, because I think part of going to Charlotte was kind of being the man, putting up the numbers he is with the, you know, his sights on being an all-star again. And I think it's probably pretty frustrating for him that he is having such a great season. He's putting up those numbers again. that he was that he knew he was capable of putting up and hoping he could put up when he went to Charlotte, and he still doesn't get in.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching almost all the Hornets games this year because I write for them too. He's played really well. He has struggled with injuries. He's hurt again right now, which is just so tragic. But I will say, I think a big reason that he didn't get in, I think Terry Rozier stole some buzz from him, because Terry Rozier has been playing at just an elite level of basketball lately. He's put up like 30 points in the last five games or something ridiculous. So there could be a recency bias there. And he is like sharing the load with Terry. They're averaging almost the same amount of points, which is wild when you think about both of those guys run the Celtics with such a stacked squad. But I just think guys like Middleton, you know, Bam Adebayo, even Van Fleet and Harris would have made it over him regardless. So while he definitely did have a case, it was just not as strong as some of the other guys. Because it's also a very even Eastern Conference. Like, no one's too great. No one's too, like, tragically bad in terms of record. So it was anybody's game this year.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really hurt Hayward was probably the assist numbers. If his assist numbers were a little bit higher, it'd be easy. But like you said, I mean, playing with Rozier and not just Rozier, but LaMelo and Devontae Graham, like, all these great guards who are going to facilitate the offense, maybe not Graham so much, but those other guys certainly going to facilitate more than he is. And that's tough, because, you know, if he had DeRozan's opportunity to be that kind of playmaker, which I think he can be that kind of passer if he was given the opportunity, he would probably have had a much stronger case, and he really would have came close to making it, but it just, you know, wasn't that way in Charlotte. And I think that's maybe surprising, maybe disappointing. Maybe he thought he would have that opportunity. I don't know. But you got to feel for him to some extent, because it seems like he really, really wanted to do that. That was one of his main goals in leaving, was continuing to, you know, prove he's a star in the league. And he is, but, you know, falling short of that accolade, at least for this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just a very good team. Like, they're great at team basketball. They pass the ball really well, and he's a huge part of that. It just doesn't always show up in the stats.
All right, Jack. Well, we're also about, not quite, but we're about four games away from the halfway point of the season for a lot of these teams. So any thoughts as far as the midway point of the NBA season? I know we're reacting to the All-Star things, but any general big picture thoughts about the playoff picture? You know, some of the teams, maybe you can bring something up about the Celtics, maybe one of these teams fighting for a spot, like the Hornets, Bulls, Knicks, even the Heat and the Hawks down there, who you'd like to see make it out of that group. You know, I know you mentioned the Spurs and their surprise. Just any big picture midseason thought you want to throw out there before we wrap up here?
Yeah, in terms of Celtics, they just got to start moving the ball better. Hopefully Brad can kick him in the ass. You know, Danny Ainge will make a move. But that's concerning. Like, at this point, they're blowing that lead to the Pelicans. They've got to move the ball better. They've got to figure it out. Big picture, the Jazz are legit. They're a legit finals threat this year. The way they play basketball is unlike anything I've watched in a while. I know Brad Stevens had some high praise for them when the Celtics played them. The Eastern Conference playoff picture should be interesting to watch. Like you said, teams like the Hornets, the Bulls, the Hawks, the Heat even, who were in the finals last year. I'm excited for the play-in tournament. I think that'll bring a lot of entertainment. And overall, the Celtics just got to pass the ball. Jason Tatum's got to be a better facilitator, man.
All right, Jack. Thank you for coming on the show. Definitely appreciate it. I'm sure we'll see a few more All-Stars, but we'll see who Adam Silver ultimately picks based on the players that aren't gonna be able to play, whether because of injury or, who knows, maybe some players decide they don't want to go to Atlanta. I don't know. We'll have to figure out what the future holds. But thank you again for coming on, Jack. Everybody, go follow Jack on Twitter at JackSimoneNBA. You can follow me on Twitter at ByKJDrill. Check out the pod on Twitter at WeSmartPod. Check out everything over at GuyBossesSports. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.